Today I want to talk about our first dream statement here today, and that is connection. And if you've been teed into what's going around in our world, you're familiar with AI, correct? Artificial intelligence. And it's coming our way, whether we like it or not. It is here, and it's going to be here to stay. In fact, it is creating a lot of fear in our world. Even those that are creating it are afraid of what it will evolve into and the dangers that can be connected to artificial intelligence. It can be beneficial. It can be dangerous. We know, as we are on the internet, we know that it is a good source of information. It is also a bad source of information. And with artificial intelligence, there's going to be a line that's going to be blurred between reality and a lie. And deception will be multiplied, I believe, more than ever with this, I don't know what you would even call it, with this thing coming to reality. And if you'll go to the next picture. I love this. I don't know if you've seen this pop up on your Facebook page or not. And this is, of course, generated by AI. We know that this is not real. We would pray that it would be real. We wish it would be real, but we know that it is not. It is a false reality. And this is a picture that paints, a picture paints a thousand words. You've heard it often said, right? And this should be our prayer, that we would see something like this. Amen. 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 But I want to talk about a different AI here this morning. These images that we're looking at here this morning should be a picture of a reality that is taking place in the church. Instead of artificial intelligence, I want to talk about this morning authentic inclusion. So that's my definition of AI here this morning. As a church, we want people to come to our church, and we want them to feel they are welcomed. We don't want it to be an illusion. We don't want it to be something that we just talk about, but we want it to be a reality for any individuals that would attend our church. We want them to feel welcome. We want to acknowledge that they're here, that they are not an intrusion in our church, that they're not upsetting the cart. They're not breaking the status quo, as you might say. So here this morning, we want people to feel welcome. We want them to be respected. We want them to be loved. You know, every church says they're a friendly church, but not every church is friendly. We've given testimony. I've shared some experiences that I've had. You've been in churches where you have not even been welcomed, that you have not been acknowledged that you were even in the building with them. We want people to feel like they're at home. Many of us, I've gone to many different churches. We've sat in services. But how many know there's no place like home? And there's nothing like your home church. Even though there might have been good worship, there might have been good preaching, there's always that sense of homeness, that wholeness, that home feeling when we come back to our own church. And so today, we want people to feel so welcome that they want to come back. Amen? Amen. Come on now. If you're not going to help me here this morning, we're in trouble. Amen. But we want to do this without no compromise on our part. This morning, I do not want to compromise being a Pentecostal church. Amen. And so sometimes we see churches compromising to allow for growth, for people to come to their church. They're compromising. And today, we don't want to be one of those churches. We're going to stick to the roots of who we are. And we're going to believe that God is going to do some great things. And that when people come to our church, they feel that we authentically love Jesus Christ. So what does God say about authentic inclusion? We're going to read a couple scriptures here as we begin here today, just to kind of set the mode for a very practical sermon for you here this morning. Jesus had a prayer in John 17, and he said this. He said, "My prayer is not for them alone." And he's talking about his disciples here. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, meaning later generations, meaning us here today, that all of them may be what? One. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And we know what the church. Church is one body, but it's made up of many parts. And so today, we know that if our body is not in unity, we know it. Amen. How many groaned getting out of bed this morning? Amen. Parts you wanted to get up, the rest didn't. So we want to be in complete unity. We want to be one, just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. We want to be one in spirit as the body of Christ. A familiar scripture to you, similar to what we just read, is in John 13:35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if, it's a condition, if you love one another. So they're going to know that we belong to one another. They belong to the church because of our love for each other. In Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 29, it says this. The most important one, what? Commandment, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no, see that word? No commandment greater than these. So the greatest thing that we can do is love God and love people. Amen? All right. No yawning. I'm just getting started. All right. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Do to others as you would have them do to you. So as we have people coming into our church, being part of our church, how do you want to be treated? That's the way we want to treat those coming into the church. Philippians chapter 2. Look at the conditions here. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Good stuff. A lot of condition there. Psalm 68:6 is a powerful scripture. I'm just going to read the first part. It says, God sets the lonely in families. I want to tell you today, there's a lot of lonely people. There's a lot of people who have virtual friends, but no real life friends. And so church, we need to be the family that people are looking for. In Genesis 2:18, in the very beginning, God said, it is not good for man to what? Be alone, right? It's not good for us to be alone. We are not created to be alone. We need people in our lives. We need one another. So as we began here with the video, I forgot about the video. I apologize for that. But our vision statement is this. Bridging community and Christ to bring hope, wholeness, and abundant life. This is a proposed purpose for our church. 10 of us have spent a year creating this, and we're trying to pass it on to you, pass that baton on to you, and to try to get you to grab hold of what we believe that the Lord has laid upon our heart. And in that, we have made up 5 dream statements. And they go under the headings of connect, worship, grow, serve, and go. So those are going to be our dream statements. They're the things we're going to be sharing over the next number of weeks as we talk about each one. We're going to share what God has maybe spoken to our hearts. We want to share that with you. But our dream statement is this. Our Connect dream statement is this. We dream of a church where healthy fellowship is an invitation to develop genuine and rewarding friendships. And so I just want to pick up five words out of here just to kind of emphasize what we're talking about here this morning. We want to be a healthy church. And a lot of times people say if it's a growing church, it's a healthy church. That is not true. And a church that's growing and is not healthy, it's doomed. And we live in a world today, and we mentioned it a week or two ago, about 65% of churches are either plateauing or dying. And so we don't want to be in that statistic. We want to be one of those churches that's a healthy church and that we are growing. I'm not sure how fast we want it to grow, but we'll allow the Lord to kind of do that part. How's that? All right? But we want to get ready. We want to do our part so that God can grow our church and that in the process we can be healthy. Fellowship. Fellowship is great. But if our fellowship with one another is just here in this building and just during a worship service, it's going to be kind of shallow. It's not going to be very deep. And so we want to deepen those relationships. We want to deepen the fellowship. It's good to worship together. It's good to break the word of God together. But how many know it's good to hang out? How many here, we're here for the Valentine's dinner, right? It's an opportunity, right, for us to get out of a formal and be more in a kind of relaxed environment. And so fellowship is important. And it was important to the early church. You can read it there in Acts 2. And it's important for us here today. The word invitation. There is no way today that we can make you connect with anybody. There's no coercion. There's no kind of way of making it happen. It's going to have to be a decision that you make yourself. So we're inviting you to join us on this journey. We want to develop. How many know develop is a process? It takes time. It's not instant. It takes time. It's a process. And so we know in relationships, sometimes there are instant connections, and we know sometimes there's acquired taste. Right? All right. How many people that you knew the first time you kind of judged them, wrote them off, but once you got to know them, you loved them? Right? It's kind of one of those acquired tastes. And then some people maybe we never connect with. It's true, isn't it? All right, come on. I'm not preaching to the choir here today. All right. Friendships. We look at friendships. And we have friendships that are enduring. We have friendships that were past in the past, and that's where they remain, in the past. There are friends we have today, and there are friends we will have in the future. And some of us have friends that, past, present, and future, those relationships are alive and well. And so what we want to do in the church is we want to create that past, present, future kind of relationship. Even Jesus, with his disciples, began to stop talking to them as apostles and disciples and as servants. And what did he do? The night he was betrayed, he called them friends. Right? He called them friends. And so that's important, that we be friends. All right. That's the foundation. Now we're going to get into some practical practices. And these are some things that we want to begin to practice. You're going to say, is this kindergarten? Well, for some of us, it might be. All right? If you're already doing this, just take it as just something to reinforce what you're already doing. So are you ready? Amen. So these are some things that we want to begin to do in our church to connect with other people. So let's begin with this. Today, I want to begin with signage. I know the signage around our church is awful. All right. It's not in the quality of it. Doug has helped us do some signage, and it's high quality, but we lack it. And so We did tape some stuff on doors here to kind of help solve some things, but we need help, and we're working towards it, and just be patient with us. Some of it's outside. Signage needs help. Doors, hallways, where things are located. We know we need help in that area. And how many know that it's important for people to know where they're going?
Yes.
All right? And for us that have been here a while, sometimes we forget that there are people coming in that don't know. And so we've got to remember. And so we will help out with some signage. And so we are in the process of preparing that. So that will help in getting people where they need to be. How many know that if you go to a church, wouldn't it be nice to have a special parking spot just for you for the first time when you pull up? I didn't hear anything on that one. But wouldn't it be nice to have some guest parking right out here, right up there, right by the door where they could come in? And thank you for the amen. Amen. All right. But these are just some ideas that we're throwing out there to kind of consider. We want people even driving up into the parking lot to feel like, hey, they're looking for us to come. So you see why I need to preach this, right? Because we're in sad shape, church. We appreciate those who have newly been coming and you're still here. We're grateful you survived. We are grateful. Thank you for coming back and putting up with us and guessing your way through the process. So, but this is one of our goals, to improve that first time experience. Where they say the first 11 minutes or less, people decide if they're coming back. So, for those that are new, you're survivors. Hallelujah. You're keepers. Well, we want to hang on to you. All right. So, guest parking. Greeters. And we have newly appointed, Scott and Linda agreed to kind of lead up our greeting ministry. And I was like pulling teeth. Nobody wanted to do it. So we are grateful that I didn't have to pull. I just asked them, and they said yes. And so they're already part of the greeter process. And so they're already acquainted with some of the things we need. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to have greeters at each door. We have three doors, unfortunately. One's way on the other side of the building, and nobody wants to be up there by themselves. But what we would like to do is have two greeters at each door. We do have a greeter team that is consistently working with us, and so we would like to add to that. And so I don't think we have it prepared this week, but we're going to do a sign-up sheet. We're going to do a calendar where we want you to pick a week of the year for you to be a greeter with us. That will also give you an opportunity to meet some people maybe you don't know. And as we look around this room, there are probably faces that you recognize, but you have no idea what their name is, right? A couple weeks ago, I had someone walk up. I've been here for 3 weeks. She said, my name is... I wanted to meet you, and I'm the pastor of the church. All right. So, I hate to tell you, some come in late, leave early, so it's hard to grab them. But we want you, as families, we want you to have a family representative to at least greet once a year. We have enough people in our church that we could probably do that. Maybe some of you could do it more than that. So we're going to have a sign-up sheet where you can sign up for a week of the month and help us out in being a greeter, because we want to benefit those coming in, but we want you also to recognize and build a relationship with those that are coming in. And so this is a different ministry from the ushers, just to kind of clarify that here this morning. We would need you here 15 minutes early at the entrances. And so we will, as we move forward and begin to get names, we will kind of assign you to where we need you to be. We want you to provide information. How many know we put out a bulletin at the beginning of the month that has the calendar for the month, all the activities that are there. And so we want to be able to give that up. We want people, as they're coming in, to know the upcoming events that we have and in there is a list of the ministries that we have. And so we want them to be able to find it, read it, and maybe gain some insight about what we as a church are offering our community. We want to encourage them to fill out a guest card. We kind of have trouble with this a little bit. I didn't announce it this morning. Shame on me. We're not in the practice of doing it, but we're encouraging our guests to look in the pockets of our seats to fill out a card, do the QR card online. Yes, we're not taking any loans. Okay, and we want to man the welcome table. That's going to be one of the things that we do. And as they hand in their card, we'd like to give them a gift bag, recognizing that they're here, and just a gift as appreciation for coming. We also want to provide, as they're coming in, how many knows we had some new kids today, all right? And so we want up front, instead of dinner in the middle of the service, tracking it down, is to give them information about our kids' ministry, give them a sign-up card so that we can get that out of the way, so that they know what we're doing with our kids. Many may not know we have a nursery and we have preschool, and that they meet when we start the service. They're already over there. Some people do not know that. Maybe you didn't know that. But our elementary are in here for worship, and then they go up. So we want people to understand that. That's just giving them courtesy, because we don't want to just greet the parents. We want to greet the kids also, and we want to minister to the whole family. So these are just some things that we need for our greeters. And one of the things of having two at a door is, if needed, how many know that sometimes it's easier to take somebody there than to explain where to go? And so that would be a courtesy. I've been in churches where you walk in the door, and we had our young kids, and they would say, "Let us show you." And they would take us to where we needed to go. So these are just basic things. But one of the greatest things that we need for our greeters is, we need you to smile. We need you to be friendly. We need you to be inviting. And we need you to be informative. Meaning that if they ask you a question, you don't say, "I don't know." Right? It's important. And you say, "What kind of sermon is this?" This is common sense. This is something that's important, that if we lose out at the beginning, we've lost it. And so we've had some feedback from some about our greeters ministry, and it wasn't as positive as we would have liked. So we are in the process of improving not just the greeters, but every ministry that we have. That's the process of what we're doing with our vision. So the next area I want to talk about is guest quest, all right? This is important, and won't you stand with me this morning? I just did that so you stay awake. Amen. What I would like you to do, just for practice here this morning, is I want you to turn to somebody, introduce yourself, tell them your name, and that you're glad they're here this morning. Practice. It can be next to you. It doesn't have to be a stranger, just the person. This is just practice. All right, I didn't tell you to socialize. All right. All right. How many found that was very natural, right? How many of you asked them what their name was? Or how many of them, after you introduced who you were, automatically gave you their name? It's usually an automatic response. If we say, hi, my name is Tim, we want to welcome you to the church, they'll usually say, hi, I am
Chris.
All right? That is a natural response. But I've had people here, I've introduced myself, told them my name, and they just looked at me. And so you had to kind of coach them a little bit and say, what's your name? All right? Not in that sarcastic, right? But ask their name. Not just the parents, but introduce yourself to all the family members. All right? It's important. The kids are just as important. How many know that sometimes parents go to the church is where their kids want to go? If you can't get your kid to want to go to church, that's terrible. But when your kids want to go to church, it makes parents want to be there also. So we want to introduce ourselves. We want to give them our name. We want to find out who they are. We want to introduce ourselves to their whole family. We want to invite them to sit with us. Isn't that terrible? Sit with a bunch of strangers that you don't know? Man, how uncomfortable is that? We want to invite people to sit with us. How many know that sometimes we need to move ourselves and make room for them? Right? Sometimes we're clustered here. How many know that? You know, give up your seat. All right? Give up your seat. Be nice. All right? And so that's important. Make room. We have some services where we're pretty tight, and we don't want them crawling all over us or having to have them sit on the front row. It is scary. All right? Some of you come early just to give her the back row. So, whatever. Make room, okay? Engage conversations. Ask questions, right? Just don't say, hi, how are you, and then go about your business. Ask questions. Who they are. Do they live in that area, you know? That's one of the first things I ask is, do you live around here? Because we do have people just passing through. They're family members of somebody. We actually had last summer, we had people from the campground come up and just say, we're just passing. We saw the church, and we decided to come. So we need to know. If they're in our community, hey, we want to engage them. We want them back. We want them back. Some of you want them back. Some of you don't. All right. I mean, it's a time to also, if they have kids or whatever, just say, hey, we've got Tuesday nights groups, we got activities, we got home groups. You know, it's just an opportunity for you just kind of introduce yourself and the church to them. And so what we want to do is we want to be able for them to want to come back, but we have to invite them. How many know sometimes at the end of the service it's good to say we're glad to have you and would love to have you back? You know, that's always nice. And so if they're here a couple times, what would really be nice is that you invite them to go eat after the meal, whether it be your home, whether it be out at a restaurant, whatever. And for those that have 10 kids, we'll pick out certain people and they can take them. But it goes beyond here, you understand, okay? Guest quest. All right, look around you. If you don't know somebody, introduce yourself. And I know that most of you don't know everybody in this room. And it took us sometimes weeks and even months to know some people because they came here and there. They slipped in, they slipped out. And I would ask people, do you know that person? No. We couldn't find anybody. So finally I had to just go up and say, I have no clue who you are. Would you introduce yourself? What's your name? Shame on us if they can come weeks and months and us not know their names. So know their names. And it is great to know that the next time you see them, you might actually remember their name. Hallelujah. Make a cheat sheet. I do that sometimes. I make a cheat sheet. I hate to say, Joe, Richard, and Jen, I had to make a cheat sheet. They've been slipping in. They've been here for a good period of time. And finally, it was like, I got to get their names down in my head. And so we are glad you're here. We're glad you've been faithful. And but it's important. People need to know that they're wanted. So guest quest. So that's all of our responsibility, not just the greeters. It's everyone in this room. Follow up. You okay? If you met someone, a lot of times they'll fill out a card, and we like to text them, call them, email. I usually text them and kind of let them know that we're here. The days of visiting and the days of phone calls are kind of extinct, and so we're kind of in that area. And if you want to follow up on somebody, we can make that information available to you. And if you sat by him and you talked to him and you know him better than the rest of us, wouldn't it be great for you to follow up on that person and say, hey, you remember me? I sat by you. My name's this. And we're glad to have you, and we'd love to have you back. Amen. And it's not just the staff doing their job following up on somebody. How many know it's important for the body to reach out to the body? And so it's also an opportunity for us to even open up the door for prayer requests, to find out what's going on in their life, and giving the opportunity for us to pray and minister to them in that way. So the new thing is the newcomer's lunch. We're having that next week. It's our first one. We've never did it before. We're kind of working our way through the details. Sorry for those who got two postcards, but we're kind of, we didn't like the design of the first one, so we redid it. And I don't know, maybe you can kind of give us some ideas how we could better that card. But we're going to do this periodically as needed. And we want our staff, our board members, and maybe some of our team leaders of ministries to be there with us. Amen. Is this practical?
Yes.
It's very practical. All right. Okay, for those that are not guests, those who have been members here or attenders here for a period of time, we still want you to connect with people. And one of the things we're trying to improve is our communication. We know that you don't listen to announcements. We know you don't read PowerPoints. You don't read the bulletin. You don't go to Facebook. And you don't look at the website. So I don't know how else to communicate with you, because we usually communicate by those five means, all right? And so we are trying to develop a media team. We have a couple of people that said they were interested in helping us just make announcements and getting things out there that might grab your attention, all right? So what really gets you is when you announce something for a month and people walk up and say, now, what was that again? It's like, well, look at the announcements, look at the bulletin, look at the PowerPoint, look at Facebook, look. All right? All those things. All right? It has been said that people have to hear it seven times before they remember. Sorry, some of our announcements don't go that long. So by the time we do the seventh time, it's over. As you've seen some of the slides that we're showing, you missed the love liner, you missed those other things. Sorry. Should have been there. Could have been there. All right. So we are going to work on that. And it is frustrating at times to get church people's attention. But we're going to try to do it in a creative way that maybe can register in your brains. All right. So we want a participant attitude. We can't coerce you to do or be part of anything. And throughout the year, we have church organized things going on. We have fellowship. We have ministries. We have discipleship going all the time. These are just opportunities for you to come in and fellowship. These are things that we prepare, and most of you just came in. Yeah, you paid money to be here for the Valentines, but how many know there was a lot of work that was done behind the scenes to make that happen? There are people that are working. Some are the staff, some are volunteers. We appreciate that, but we're going to do what we can, but that's all we can do. Some of our families, we have an activity, we have a fellowship time, they don't come. We can't make you come, and I'm not going to badger you about it, but they are just opportunities that you need to decide we're going to be part of. We're going to be part of this body, not just sitting in the church service, but part of the fellowship and getting to know one another. But there's also the personal organization, meaning that, you know, we want you to reach out to each other because you like one another. To go to lunch after church, to do whatever, you know, have somebody over for supper on a weeknight or whatever. Go bowling, in the summer, you know, we've given you opportunities to go down the river with us, whatever. We're gonna create those things. But sometimes, you know, all you're going to have to do is, if you don't want to go with a group, just call someone up and say, hey, I'm going down the river. You want to go with me? All right. Pastor Chris calls me now and then, an hour before he goes fishing, and says, you want to go fishing? And it's like, I appreciate the call. I like to go fishing, but an hour is just not enough time, Pastor Chris. So, sorry. But there are those opportunities to fellowship outside of the church. And it's up to you. If you don't know so-and-so well, say, hey, let's go down to the coffee shop. Let's just have a cup of coffee and let's get to know one another, whatever it takes. So this is membership connection. This is those that attend here. We have ministry team fellowship. Pastor Chris. Pastor Chris, yes. Pastor Chris's wife, Pastor Whitney, has already done this with the worship team. We'd like to see it spread throughout the church, that she gets together outside of just the ministering here on the stage, just going and meeting in a home, going out to eat, having a picnic, whatever they choose to do, to kind of build relationships outside of just our ministry. And of course, one of the biggest things that you're going to be hearing about is the board is praying, and we're talking about some kind of building program to kind of encourage this connection. We don't have a lobby. We don't have a way of funneling people in. And so we're dreaming about how do we do that? What can we do? Whether we build a lobby, whether we build whatever. And I'm going to leave it at whatever. We've had a lot of different ideas. And so pray with us as we're dreaming about what we can do to better connect people, to kind of funnel them through a process coming in the front door, that we can greet them, meet them, you know, and just kind of do that. So this is some of what we're talking about, our connection. Can you put up our dream statement there again, our connect dream statement? I don't know if I put it on at the end there or not. You're going to have to go up. We dream of a church. So our dream statement for Connect is we dream of a church where healthy fellowship is an invitation to develop genuine and rewarding friendships. You can't find it, but that's okay. I'm sorry I didn't put it on at the end. It's earlier in the slideshow. So, all right. So this is the dream that we want to see come true. And it's a dream we can make come true by starting this week, coming in next week prepared to kind of do these things. So this isn't just for the greeters. This is for the whole body, that we need to be on a guest quest, that we want you to interact with people, not just your friends, not just your family. I know you haven't seen them for a day or two, right? But we want you to reach out to those that maybe you don't know, or maybe people that are in the church that you're not very acquainted with. And so these are just those opportunities. It takes no special gifting or calling. All right? It is just something we're all called to do, is to be friendly, to love one another. We gave you lots of scriptures here today. We are called to follow the great commandment and the golden rule. Just like you want to be acknowledged, greeted, and appreciated for being there, we should appreciate the gifts that God is giving to our church. So look at it that way. Anybody who walks in the door is a gift from God, right? Because they are treasured by God and they're important to God. And we're either a stepping stone for them getting closer to God, or we become a deterrent and a roadblock to cause them to stumbling, say, if that's what church is like. And there are people like that who walked in a church and said, if that's what it's like, I'll never go to church. We don't want to be that church. Amen? We have a dream, all right? So show me my picture here at the end. Amen. Here's your statement. All right. If these guys can, you can too. Amen. You can do it. I have faith in you. Amen. And this is what Jesus wants us to do. Amen. Authentic inclusion. Let's be genuine about it. Let's genuinely love people. Care about them. You know? It's what we want. You know? You got to sow before you reap. Well, it's not my personality. Well, it's not my personality either. It isn't. And I have to work at it. And I've had people remind me here that I said something to you. They called me up. And they should. And we all should be called up on it. Amen? Authentic inclusion. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? I love that. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we're here today, and we just love you. And we do. And Lord, the commandment is to love you with all that's within us, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, sometimes we're better at that than loving people. But that's the second commandment. That's the second part of that commandment, is to love others as we love ourselves. And Father, I pray that we will take that to heart, that we will grab a hold of that. And it is a commandment. It even says it's a commandment. It's the greatest commandment. And Lord, if we can do that, we're way on our way of pleasing you. And so, Lord, I pray that in our hearts here this morning, we will come to that place, Lord, where we say yes to this process, that yes, I'm going to participate in this. Yes, I'm going to look out and I'm going to reach out, not just to those that are guests or new to the church, but to those that are in this body. There are lonely individuals within this body. There are homebound people that are connected to this body. They need to be loved. They need to be reassured that we have not forgotten about them, that they are important. I pray today, Father, that you open up our hearts, but more so that you'd open up our hearts. We'd open up our arms, that, Lord, that we would truly love people as you loved people. Lord, we see it over and over again in the Gospels, Lord, where you stopped in the midst of a crowd just to minister to one. And today, Lord, as we're gathered in a group, Lord, as we gather in groups, help us to look for that one, Lord, that we can just love and minister to. We love you, Lord. I thank you for this body. I thank you for the unity that does exist here. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we have a purpose. We have a plan. But, Lord, we have to line up with you. And so, Lord, give us a heart of compassion, a heart for people. We love you, Jesus, and we just give you this service today. And may something that is said just kind of percolate in our hearts and our spirits this week. And let us not be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's probably one of the best sermons I ever preached. Hallelujah. It's genuine. It's practical, and yet we don't do it. So as we're going through all these dream statements, guess what? It's going to be practical. So be ready to get hit over the head. I mean, to be blessed as we proceed through this, all right? We're going to challenge you. Amen. Hallelujah.